Hi, good morning. Todd Zwillick here on The Takeaway, filling in for John Hockenberry for today. And John's out for the rest of the week. And, of course, I'm here with Celeste. Good morning, Celeste.
Good morning.
Well, Celeste, you've heard about the debt, of course. We've been talking a lot about it. Set to reach its highest figure ever, $14 trillion. Now, President Obama's fiscal 2012 budget came out yesterday to a hostile Republican reaction. Now, that budget covers spending that starts in October 2011. But today, on the House floor, lawmakers start debate on a spending bill taking us from right now up until September. And here's the thing. Republicans are calling for deep cuts immediately. Here's House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, Republican, yesterday.
As you know, this cut, $100 billion, is historic. Never has a rescission bill of this size been brought to the floor. And so it is big, and it is, and it's real, and it can impact people's lives.
An impact in people's lives. Now, that's the point, because the idea of cutting spending polls great with American voters. In a CNN poll in January, 7 out of 10 said they want to reduce government, and a majority also say they want to deal with the deficit. But as always with government spending, the details matter, because as soon as you get specific, support drops like a rock. Everyone's for cutting until you cut something they like. So I want to go down a quick list here of what's in the Republican spending bill so far that's on the House floor and let you decide if these are things that you'd like to see cut from federal spending. And of course, you can tell us what we should cut from the federal budget at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Give us a call. So how about cutting a combined $330 million from Food Safety Inspection and the Food and Drug Administration, cutting $1.8 billion for local police departments. That's cops on the beat. Cutting just under $2 billion from clean water funds and almost $750 million from nutrition assistance for poor pregnant women, mothers, and babies. Now, also on the list, youth anti-drug ads, federal buildings. Probably no one will be sorry to see $600 million in cuts to the IRS. So you can go to thetakeaway.org to see the entire list and take our survey on what you'd like to see cut or saved in the federal budget. But there's also the issue of foreign aid. There's over $2.7 billion in cuts in direct foreign aid, disaster relief, foreign children's health. This is what Secretary of State Hillary Clinton told reporters yesterday.
The scope of the proposed House cuts is massive. The truth is that cuts of that level will be detrimental to America's national security.
Clinton says the U.S. is going to have to pull back assistance programs that reach people in Afghanistan and Pakistan, where Americans are desperately trying to win hearts and minds. So any of these cuts, the good and the bad, could go deeper as this spending bill gets debated this week. In the end, though, will the cuts have much of an effect on the national debt? And I ask that because what's on the table for cuts is really only 16% of the federal budget. Keep in mind, what about Medicare? What about Social Security and defense? Lawmakers right now are making choices. That's their job. And this country does need to cut spending. But as we get down into these details, the question is, what are you willing to cut? Let us know what you think, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or take our budget survey at thetakeaway.org. And now I want to turn this around on an expert economist. Gus Fauché is with us from Moody's Analytics in Westchester, Pennsylvania, because the question is, as we're going through painful cuts, what are we getting for all this pain? What's the value to you, the American voter, the American taxpayer, in reducing the federal debt? Gus, good morning.
Good morning.
Lots of pain in these cuts I just listed. Clean water, food safety, poor children and pregnant mothers. And the debt goes down a little bit with each cut. Is it just pain? What's the benefit here?
Well, there is some benefit in that if we get our budget situation under control, then that brings down long-run interest rate. It makes the economy more productive over the long run. The concern right now is that the economy is still very weak. The unemployment rate is still 9%. We're still down almost 8 million jobs from the worst of the recession. And in that respect, cutting spending now actually will slow the recovery in the near term, while the budget itself, that's a long-run concern. So the important thing is not to bring the budget deficit down this year or next year, but over the long time, over the next 5, 10, 15 years.
Does that mean that the cure actually hurts a little bit more now, but it helps you get better in the long term? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but I think we could postpone the cure for a couple of years until the economy is stronger, until the unemployment rate has come down, and then what we could do is we could cut the deficit, we could make credible commitments to cut the deficit over the long run, and look at those programs that really matter, that are really adding to the deficit, things like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, defense, that type of thing, and figure out how we can look at the entire budget, not just this one small piece of it, and then bring down the deficit over the longer term.
Right, so I'm talking about essentially, even though the numbers are staggering, $1.8 billion for cops on the beat, really, unfortunately, small potatoes. So the conversation now is starting about these things you're talking about, Medicare, Social Security. And there's pain there too, right? We cut Medicare, we cut Social Security. That hurts in the long run. What does a family get if grandma's Social Security is lower? What do they get out of the deal if there aren't as many grants for college, for instance?
I mean, certainly that's going to hurt. You know, a lot of the cuts are focused on low-income households. I mean, there's no question about that. Social Security will remain a progressive system in that lower-income people get a higher percentage of their contributions back in terms of benefits than upper-income people. And I would expect that to remain the case over the longer run. There's no way of getting around it. You either have to cut spending or you have to raise taxes to reduce the deficit, and that means somebody has to pay.
So cutting spending is the pain part. Raising taxes is also the pain part, but maybe pain on somebody else. Is all this just about spreading the pain?
Exactly.
Sounds like it.
The thing is that we have to figure out a way to reduce the commitments that the government has made and pay for the ones that we really want the government to retain. And that if we do that, the payoff isn't this year or next year, it's down the road. And we're talking 10, 15 years down the road. The payoff is that we'll have a stronger economy. People will see stronger wage gains. There'll be more business investment. There'll be stronger job growth. But it's a tough sell for politicians to say, well, we're going to cut your Social Security benefits to provide some nebulous benefit 15 years down the road in the form of higher wages and higher incomes.
By the way, 15 years down the road when I'm probably not in office anymore, right, Gus?
Correct.
All right, Gus Fauché, economist with Moody's Analytics from Westchester, Pennsylvania. Gus, thanks so much.
Sure, no problem.
All right, so we want to know, Republicans have been asking what Americans want to cut from the budget. It is a great question. Go to the budget survey at thetakeaway.org or give us a call at 8778-MY-TAKE. Let us know what you would like to see cut in the federal budget.
I vote for legislative salaries.
Legislative salaries. Well, they have. You should know, they have frozen them, and they have also cut.
No, not frozen. Cut.
Cut.
Yeah.
They've frozen their office. They've cut their office budgets. Does that encourage you?
They haven't cut it enough.
Okay, more. Celeste says more.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.